Matthew 8 at the time, there is a word from the Lord. And I wanted to, since we've come to this final Sunday in this year 2018, that just seems, every time I say that, I kind of think, what, final year, final weekend. And I already have said this to all of you who know me, I have 52 dates already for next year with the Lord. And this coming year, I'm going to try to have 52 dates with my wife through the year. Amen. So we'll have a date night throughout the year, because sometimes we set that aside. And we get so busy with stuff, but it's an essential thing. So I just want to go ahead and then let the cat out the bag and say we're going to plan that too, just like we do the 52 Sundays with the Lord. Amen. Somebody say falling in love with Jesus. And it's you good with that one, huh, Brother John? Yeah. And falling in love with Jesus, amen. And fall in love with your own and try to keep that fire burning, amen. But we're going to go right ahead here. Got a good word. I've thought about this for some time approaching today. And it's always a good thing to do. And they do this in the world. Worldly folk do this. So I think the church should do this. When you get in this season, it brings about kind of a spirit of evaluation. You want to evaluate where you were and how you got where you are.
Yeah.
So just a few notes I had made here. Now that we have we're just about to close out 2018 AD, the year of our Lord, and we're looking forward to 2019 AD, the year of our Lord. Is there anything that we can do to improve our status with God through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. That's one question. I just put that out there as we make these evaluations. As we consider the events of this year, is there anything that we did or didn't do that we thought we perhaps should have done better? Mm-hmm. You know, you look back, you kind of think about how I did stuff this year. What could I have done maybe better? Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of questions we get this time of year.
Yeah.
And as we take a spiritual inventory, how was our prayer life? Mm-hmm. How was our meditation mm-hmm. time? How much time did we spend meditating? Mm-hmm. How was our Bible reading time? Mm-hmm. Just how focused on God were we during most of the year? Think about that. These are not for you to answer yourself, you know, out loud. Just think about it. Today, let us refresh our vision as we take in a message being called Starting a Better Year with God.
All right.
So that's where we're going to be, right there. A better year with God. Mm-hmm. Now, some of y'all know, and we're going to read this text here. I got a couple of things in mind to wrap our thoughts around. But don't you want to have a better year with God? Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
I do. You know what? If you got hindered last year by anything that stumbled you up mm-hmm. or kept you from being everything you wanted to be or doing everything you wanted to do, mm-hmm. you understand the conflict, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you want to do stuff and you just, for whatever reason, it can't get done.
Couldn't get it done.
And you had disappointment and all that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Some stuff you hoped you could do, you didn't get done.
Yeah.
Some stuff you did, you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Some stuff you didn't do, you thought, well, I should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have all that, and we think about all that this time of the year. So let's take a look. I'm going to get a snapshot here from the Old Testament from a gentleman who is called Ezra. Mm-hmm. Ezra is one of the unique people in the Old Testament mm-hmm. because he had several offices in his work with God.
Mm-hmm.
He was a priest, and he was also a scribe. And he is a prophet.
Yeah.
Very interesting person, Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn a lot from reading him. He's one we don't read a whole lot, but I think you can get some good thought from looking at what Ezra has to say here. So we're going to read Ezra in the 7th chapter, just a few verses from 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to take a look in the New Testament at the final letter that Paul writes to his protege, Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We have a lot to say about Timothy around here. Our church is St. Timothy.
Amen.
And so we're looking at passing the legacy of what the church is to another generation, much like Paul did when he trained Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy, which is the last of the letters that he wrote. And this is chapter 4, the first 8 verses. So let's read today just Ezra, these couple of verses in Ezra chapter number 7. Ezra 7 and 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord of Israel had given.
And the king granted him
all requests before the cause of the hand of the Lord was up on him.
Some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King.
Mm-hmm. He came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of, and of course that is, for he had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Isn't that interesting? He set his heart there, he says here, to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, to teach his statutes and his ordinances in Israel. That's what Ezra did. Okay, we'll talk about him a little more. But from the New Covenant, let's read a few verses from 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but also unto all them that have loved his appearing. Okay, that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I got a couple of translations on my paper here, and I keep switching between the two. But let's talk just a minute, as we said, for this particular subject on starting a better year with God. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you who studied with us while we were here for the Bible study know that we went into the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
And the book of Hebrews is a book about better things. And that's what the whole book's about. We didn't quite make it through before we took our hiatus for the winter months. But we got pretty close. We got all the way over into chapter 12. And so we're going to be looking in chapter 13 in the coming year. I look forward to that because those chapters are crucial in our understanding, the finishing up our study through this epistle to the Hebrews. But what I want to say, and the reason I thought about it for our message today, is that this is what we're thinking about at this time of year, is starting a better year with God. Now, some of us already know, if you walk with God and you tighten up your relationship with God, things do work better. Things work better. Why? Because we have a better mindset about what we're doing. We face difficulties better when we know we're walking with God. Sometimes when we step off the path and something happens, the first thing we think, oh, God is smiting me, we might think, just because we haven't been so close to the Lord. And that's a human tendency. But I want you to understand and take comfort in the fact that no matter how we are, if we're flaky, God is still solid. And God's promises are always good no matter what we're doing. And that's never ever to be a use or a reason why we go off course. But it's something to remember when it looks like things are not going the way you hope. And so basically that's what we do here, is we evaluate what we did in 2018. We start to look forward to what do I want to do in 2019, and how can I make it better? This can be a better year. And I want you to know this: God wants your year to be better. He does. He loves you. He wants to see a constant pattern of growth in every one of our lives.
Yes.
No matter what we did, if we stumbled off and we went away and all that, God still loves us. He has never changed. That's one thing about God. In fact, God is the only one who does not ever change. He said, I am the Lord your God, I change not, he told the Israelites in Malachi. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If I based it on what you guys are doing, you should have been consumed. But it's based on what I'm doing. God says, Your future, your well-being is based on what I am doing.
Amen.
And the scripture says you can rejoice in that.
Amen.
We can rejoice in the fact that God loves us.
Yeah.
He knows where he called us from.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that I'm going to speak for myself now because I don't want the room to get too quiet. But I was in a horrible pit in life.
Yeah.
And God called me out of that pit.
Mm-hmm.
And he set me on a rock, like the psalmist says. He took my feet and set it on a rock. What does that mean? That means you come out of the wishy-washiness of the world and the way you're living without God.
Yeah.
And God says, I'm going to put you right here on Christ.
Yeah.
And we say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of the ground is sinking sand. So and once you get to that point where you realize God loves you,
yeah,
just like you are, he knows everything about you, and I love you still,
mm-hmm,
and he takes you and sets you on that rock.
That's right.
You know what? The rock will not be shaken.
That's right.
That's why we call it the rock of ages.
Yeah, rock of ages.
It will not be shaken. You will not be moved.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the Proverbs say.
Yeah.
And the righteous run in and they are safe.
Amen.
When you get inside the safety net of God's love.
Amen.
And so remember this, no matter what and how last year went, or this year went, I should say,
mm-hmm,
God wants you to have a better year in the coming year.
Yeah,
he guarantees that if you keep walking with me, you will be improving,
yeah,
along the whole way.
Amen.
You know what? It's based on his faithfulness.
Yeah.
And so this is a thing that you can understand. Now, you know what? We got lots of different stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
The presidential election got a lot of people all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're looking at what's going on in the White House.
Yeah.
And how is this affecting taxes and social programs and,
yeah,
all these type of things, you see? How is it impacting the economy? And how are we looking to foreign nations? People think about all that when they look at how the year went. You see? But the fact is, and we've looked at this before, and I just want to remind you, God said that you are in my kingdom. You are not of this world.
Right.
See? So you and I are, basically, we're just sojourning. We're ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
If you're saved.
Amen.
See? So you know what that means? It doesn't make any difference who's in Washington.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference who's in Moscow, who's in the Kremlin, who's in any place you name where there's some ruler on the throne. Doesn't make any difference because we know who the king is.
Yeah.
See? And our allegiance is to our king.
Amen.
See? And so we are going to start this year better. Why? Because God is doing some things in the world.
Yeah.
The things he's doing, guess what? How he's doing it? He's doing it through you and through me.
That's right.
You are a part of what God is doing in the world.
That's right.
Because you have an understanding about God. God has given you an understanding,
mm-hmm,
and he doesn't want you to be wishy-washy and shaky due to political reasons, due to anything, health reasons, name something. You are still mine, and if you're still here, I've chosen you, I've selected you, I am empowering you, I will sustain you, and I am improving your life.
Amen.
That's what God has to say to me and you.
Amen.
Well, let's get a glimpse of it, though. Now, and this is one thing I love about the Bible, because the Bible is timeless.
Yes.
That's why God stopped writing back there where he did 2,000 years ago. He sealed the book with a curse and said, that's it. I don't need to say anymore.
Amen.
Why? Because my son has come.
Right.
He has been coming in the exact manner, fulfilling everything I said.
Mm-hmm.
So that if anybody studies it, they'll know he is the Christ.
He is the Christ.
They'll know he is the Messiah.
Yes.
You know what? The world is so sure of it, we count time based on the first time he came.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about 2018, 2019. What does that mean? That means 2018 years ago, Jesus was born.
Amen.
See?
Right.
And so the whole world is centered around Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No one could have done that but God.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to let you know. And there's coming a day, the Bible says, when they will try to make a change in that because,
mm-hmm,
they want to dishonor Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we'll see that in our lifetime, but if I do, I won't think it's strange. Why? Because God already told me. And that's the way it is with everything else in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
If God told you, it doesn't make any difference what you see on CNN.
That's right.
Doesn't make no difference what they publish in the Post-Dispatch.
Yeah.
That looks like it contradicts what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any difference what the policies of the world are, who the rulers are, and what kind of threats or things they put out there, it doesn't make a difference. Because God is still on the throne. See, that's why he wrote, we said this, and I'm going to just mention it briefly here. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's what he thinks about what people are saying in the world. How they're changing stuff and saying, oh, you know, we're going to destroy the world. People are even worried about world powers destroying the world. Wow. You know what? I ain't worried about that. Amen. Now let me explain why. Why should we be worried about that?
No.
You know why not? Because God said, vengeance is mine.
Wow.
I will repay. Bachmaninejad ain't going to get vengeance on the world.
Oh, no.
Trump's not going to get vengeance on the world. He might think he is. He might think, oh, my bank account is so extensive, I'm going to do damage to the world. Well, you may do some damage, but the ultimate fate of the world is in the hands of Almighty God. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You know, and so he told us to behave the way he told us in spite of what the trend is. No matter what's going on, you think about what I told you. You walk in my words.
Yeah.
Preach my son, because he's the only Savior.
Right.
See, there won't be another. You got folks out here preaching all kinds of stuff these days. But he said, you tell people the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's the good news that God so loved the world.
Right.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's recorded in history. Christ is the focal point of time. See, and he will continue to be.
Mm-hmm.
Until he's seated on the throne. Now, we said last couple of lessons back that we rejoice because the most important event that has ever happened in the history of the world has already happened. Jesus came right on schedule, right when he was supposed to. He did everything God said he would do in his word before he said it is finished. There was a set of things that he had to complete. He completed them all. See, he endured even from being mocked and ridiculed and crucified, spit on, humiliated and disgraced, nailed to a tree, lifted up high, bleeding from more wounds than it would even be possible. If they did me like that, I would have been gone. I would have never made it up the road carrying a cross. But why did he make it? Because God said he would. He empowered him, and nothing in the universe could have changed it.
Nothing.
So Jesus came. You know what else though? All that they did, compared this to what I said about the world and the situation of the world, man did all that against his son. It was written in the book. Guess what? They didn't even kill him. They didn't kill him. They tried. They exerted every possible thing that is said in the word, but they didn't kill him. You know what? He was hanging there, bleeding like crazy from everywhere, and they never could take his life. And he was waiting on fulfilling all the prophecy. Hanging up there, he said, I thirst, because that was written in the word. Then they came and bought him some vinegar, and he spit it out. Once he spit it out, he said, it is finished. Gall mingled with myrrh, he said, some really awful bitter stuff. And he took it. The only reason he took it is because God said, I'm going to say I thirst, and you're going to give me gall for my drink. So he waited till all of that was done. Well, all the stuff they did to him should have killed him. If it was me, I would have died. Because I'm not God in the flesh. The fact that they mutilated him the way they did let you know that he had to be God. Who else could take that?
Nobody.
Who could take it?
Nobody.
Not a soul.
Not
an average human being. The only one who could take that and continue to supply blood, a body only has so much blood in it. The only one who could do that is somebody who invented blood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He is the one who created blood.
Yes.
He said in Leviticus 17, verse 11, the life of all flesh is in the blood. And I pour it out upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls.
Amen.
See, because it required blood. God knew that. So when he showed Adam and Eve when they first sinned, you cover yourself with fig leaves, no blood. I'm not accepting it.
Good.
See, but I slew an animal. It says Genesis 3:21, the Lord God covered them with skins. See, it has to take skin, the shedding of blood, for the remission of sin. And so primarily, let's take a look here. The world was in a similar condition in the days of Ezra. And we said Ezra was a priest. I skipped those first five verses. You can read them if you want. Some of those names will knock you off your feet. Where his lineage, where he came from to get up to there. That's why it says here, this Ezra, this one who came through all these names, which we're not going to attempt to read this morning. He went up from Babylon. Now, why was the priest, the scribe, and the prophet in Babylon? Because Jerusalem had been taken into captivity. And he went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe. See that? He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. In other words, he understood what Moses had written. We would call it the Pentateuch in our time, or the five first books of the Bible, the law of Moses. He was skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. See, it didn't come just from Moses, it was from God. And the king, notice that, who was in charge, granted him all the requests, all he requested, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. You know how you're going to have a better year with God? God will give you favor.
Yes, he will.
With the rulers in the world. To get his will done.
Yes, he will.
If your purpose is to accomplish his will, God will, it says he has a part of the king in his hand and he turns it wherever he will.
Amen.
That's what it says, right?
Amen.
So it happened to Ezra here. Amen. God can give you favor with folks who might otherwise be your enemy.
Right. Yes. Amen.
But you have to trust him.
Yes.
Starting a better year with God means I don't care who's in office. I'm going to go do what God said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to execute his will, and the good hand of the Lord will make it possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ezra experienced here as we look at Ezra. The king granted him all the requests that he requested because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Now notice that some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the gatekeepers and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. God had already said what would happen when Artaxerxes was the king. See, he said there's going to be a decree from Artaxerxes that sets off a period of 70 years in God's time clock that Daniel had prophesied while he was in the captivity. So he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month. And it was the seventh year of the reign of that king that was all in his office. So it's very important that you see God set up the background and the circumstances, even though the covenant people had disobeyed God and were taken out of their land.
Yeah.
You know, God has a way to discipline us when we don't do what he wants us to do.
Yes, he does.
And we need to understand that. That's why it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him.
Right.
For whom the Lord loves, he chastens.
Right.
And he scourges every son whom he receives. See? So God will spank you to get you back on the right track because you're his.
Yes, he will.
Same way as any parent would do. If you see a kid getting out of order, eventually you got a little spanking coming. I got to make you know I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
You see? So God moves like that because he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And so notice what Ezra did here. He says in verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And what it said, he was a skillful scribe back there earlier, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
In the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't stop him from, he couldn't say, well, you know, I got it, I know it already, I don't ever need to look at it again. No. Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but and to teach. See that? His statutes and ordinances in Israel. Why? Because Israel had gotten out of whack.
Yes, they had.
America is out of whack.
Uh-huh.
America was supposed to be a godly land. At one while it was. And every day we get another distance further and further away from God. We eventually say, eh, we don't need God's word in the school no more. Throw that out. And it had been that the Bible was the main subject in the schools for a great part of the early history of America. And in recent years, eh, we don't need that anymore. Those old antiquated ideas are holding us back. That's how we became as a country. And look what we got now. We got to have metal detectors at the schools. Got to have police, armed guards, and all of that. Used to be, yeah, I'm telling you, come on, arming teachers and arming pilots on planes, because you threw out the restraining that God had put in place. So we don't need that no more. So now look what you got. See what I'm saying? But you know what? We need to do like Ezra. Ezra was in it, and he understood the problem, so he set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Not only just to study it so I can say, oh, look how smart I am, I know what God said. That's not cutting it. But to practice it and to teach it.
Yeah.
See that? Ezra knew what it took to get back on track, to get things moving right. You know what? We know what it takes right here at St. Timothy. We know what we need to do in order to move forward in God. And so Ezra the priest was a servant of God who, like many others, wore many hats. He had a lot of positions. He was a scribe. He was a priest. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. See that? And he was a role model to the people. See that? So I say he wore many hats. That's just the way we think of it today. And he was diligent after a time of gross spiritual decay among the nation of the Israelites in calling the people to return to the Word of God, which is the means for all spiritual growth. And even during a time when the covenant people were under the dominion of a Gentile king, does that sound familiar to anybody? Who had little regard for that which was written. It was the committed behavior of Ezra to model and teach what it meant to walk with God and to start over afresh no matter what else was going on. Uh-huh. That's what we're calling for, St. Timothy. We got to look and see what did God say.
Amen.
Don't worry about what Trump's talking about.
Amen.
You can keep with it as long as it don't violate God's word. Uh-huh. See? Don't worry about what Lyda Crucian is talking about down in the city. If she's saying some stuff, okay, you all right. God put you there. I'm not going to violate you unless you tell me to go against what God said. Then I stand up toe to toe with you.
All right.
And I expect God to protect me. You know what? Sometimes it meant going into the prison. Paul could tell you that.
Yeah.
He stood up for it.
Yeah.
What they do? Well, we'll lock you up. You know what? God wanted him locked up. That's why he was in there, so he could write those letters he wrote. And we have them on hand today because God knew how to protect Paul from danger, seen and unseen. So sometimes you got to leave the outcome up to God and do what he said and walk in it no matter what. So Ezra knew that, but God gave him favor. That's the thing I want you to see. And so Ezra was a model, he was a teacher, he knew what it meant to walk with God and to start over fresh no matter what else was going on. Looked like he was running against, in opposition to all the stuff that was going on. But Ezra was a great model, basically, for us to understand where we are. So I want you to see that we can be a ministering force of healing, grace, mercy, and compassion, peace, psychological stability, and hope to the ones who are being affected by the fall. Because everybody is affected by the fallenness of Adam.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody in the world, not just the church.
Amen.
Folks who are out there lost. They don't understand why all those problems are there. They don't understand twisted behavior and the reason why they're doing it. See, but in the church, one thing that happened, and I want you to understand this, when you got saved, I asked this first question. I'm going to go back to it here. Now that we are about to close out this year, we're looking forward to 2019. Is there anything that we can do to improve our status with God through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? Let me say this. In one sense, no. God has done everything. That's what you need to know. God has done everything. You can't make it better.
Right.
Jesus saved you. He did it entirely. You are completely saved.
Yeah.
Because God is not wishy-washy.
Amen.
If he didn't have to call you.
Amen.
Those whom he predestined, them he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. That's all done, all the way to glory.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm ready to call you up out the grave and put you in a new body to live with me in my kingdom forever. When you got saved. God did all of what he planned to do.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with me in the middle? Why am I having issues in the middle? Haven't got there yet. Ain't walking perfectly yet. But you know, God tells you that so you can have hope. Hope is not, well, maybe God will and maybe he won't. Hope is God said it's done and I know he will. No matter what. Don't make any difference what happens. God said it's going to be. And nothing can stop it. That's what you have to know. That's what real biblical hope is. The Bible says, now hope is the substance, faith, he says, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I haven't seen that fulfillment come through, but faith is telling me it will.
Yeah.
And I will arrive safely because God has already done everything I need. There was nothing missing from what Jesus did. We can't add anything to what Jesus did. The only thing we ought to add to it is tell it to somebody else so they can get in on it. That's why he told us to go and teach. When Jesus got out the grave, defeated death in the grave, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Make disciples.
That's what he said.
See, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. And the Greek literally says all the days. I'm with you all the days. Don't you love that? I do. He said, I'm with you all the days, however many there are. And we got folk telling us, well, you know, you all are emitting greenhouse gases. You're going to blow up the world. And we have to do something to stop this. What does that involve that we have to do? Oh, we need more money from all of y'all. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, I see. So we can stop the greenhouse gases, which are destroying the world. But you don't believe in God, do you? No, sir. Oh, okay. All right. So we need to evaluate who is saying what and why. What is the motivation? The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money. The money, we need money so we can get the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know what? God can get you the money. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Have you prayed to ask God, get me what I need to do your will?
Yeah.
And I'm going to use it for your will and your purposes.
Yeah.
If you do, you can count on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jesus told him, you go. He wouldn't tell you to go if he wasn't going to finance it.
That's right. That's right.
You see? So we have to be aware that God will finance getting the gospel out.
Yes, he will.
And so the answer to this first question, is there anything you can do to improve on it? No. But there is something you can do so you feel better about it. And that is to work on your side of the relationship with God. Because the times we feel bad is when we're doing something other than what we know God would have us do.
Yeah.
So I can feel better about what he has already done if I start to do like Ezra did. Ezra came up, it says he went up from Babylon. They had already been in the midst of judgment. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, that they had broke, I might add. I can stick in the middle of there. And the king granted him all the requests because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. See, that means your boss, God, can bend his will and make him give you what you need to do God's will. He can manipulate. He ain't really manipulating because he's God. And he has a plan for the world and what the world's going to do and how it's going to turn out. But if we want to be a part of it and have a better year with God, include him. Think about him. Request what you don't know. We call that supplication. Ask God to supply my needs. Paul said, my God will supply what?
All
my needs. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, didn't he? And he said it from the prison.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here. God knows that he'll get me out when it's my time. So I'm the prisoner of the Lord, Jesus Christ, he said. See, every situation he was in, he ascribed it to the Lord. And he knew that God would make sure he did everything he was supposed to do. Now notice what else here, a little bit more on Ezra. Some of the sons of Israel. Notice it says some, not all, there's not everybody, he's not going to agree with you.
Right.
Some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests, see that? And the Levites and the singers and the gatekeepers and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Some of them said, I'm stuck, I'm entrenched in what I'm doing and I'm not coming. Doesn't say that, but it only says that some. And that's amazing. Some are going to do God's will. Some are going to choose to start having a better year with God. Some are going to pay no attention. Some are going to do what they've been doing. Some are not going to make any changes in what they're doing. Some are going to say, hey, I know God is involved in this, and I'm getting with it.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. That sum is something you have to see. And understand. So he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month. Now we've seen in our own time Israel restore back to the land as it had been promised after 70 years. Happening right now. They're in that 70th year rejoicing over there. They don't know who Jesus is, the majority of them. The ones building that temple have no idea who Jesus is, or they know who he said he was, but we don't believe it. There's always some. Some in the church think you don't need to preach the gospel. Just tell people what makes them feel good and send them home. But it's true. It's sad, but it's true. So these are the things I wanted to say. I'm just about done. And I wanted to get you all this word because it's what God has ordained for the coming year. And to help you do that, I'm going to ask how many people in there, and I don't know anything about this thing I'm about to ask you. You probably know more than I do, so I'm going to ask you a question. How many people have heard of or read GQ magazine? Some people have heard. You heard of it? GQ. You ever hear of that? So most people have heard of it, huh? And seen it on the rack at the store. I have never picked up a copy of it. I seen it sitting there on the rack. And I only did it because I want to put that in something that's going to help you remember something I'm going to tell you. I want to talk with you just a few minutes as we prepare to close. Let's look first at what this is that Paul says here. He's talking to Timothy from the prison, Paul writes. And then we'll get to this. Remember that GQ magazine. We'll get back to it. And I don't know anything about them, so I just am using that. That's going to be something we're going to hang a thought or two on. Paul says, I charge thee, he's telling Timothy, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You know what? That's the next event on God's calendar after the rapture is the kingdom. Because he's going to deal with people on earth. It's not going to be the kings of the earth doing the destruction. It's going to be from the Almighty. See? So he says, I charge you as by Christ who will judge the quick and the dead. That's who the real judge is. At his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. That's a command. That's an imperative. Be instant. That means immediately upon the chance that you get, preach the word. Have it on your lips ready to pop right out of your mouth every time you have opportunity. And how often do you do this? In season and out of season. And people ask, when is that in season and out of season? Well, you know, some of these are in season or it's out of season, right? And they say, well, white hats are out of season now because it's later in the after September or whatever it is, they say. And then after that, white hats are in season now. So either you can or you cannot wear white hats. Either this part of the year you can't, that part of the year you can. So that means all the time.
All the time.
In season or out of season. Preach the word. How do you do that? Reprove. That's a word that means explain in the scripture what it means and where a person needs to understand. Rebuke. The reproof itself will rebuke a person if they're God's people.
Yeah.
Exhort. That means to encourage.
Right.
Encourage you that you are able to do it. That's what I do as a preacher. I'm your cheerleader, so to speak, to tell all of you God's kids, you can do everything God says you can.
Yes.
Why? Because Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever I'm going through, God's with me and he'll take me through. And so I'm your cheerleader. I'm cheering you on. That's what that exhort means. You see that? And then he says, with all long suffering, that means even if you didn't get it this week, I'll tell you again next week. And doctrine, show you why you should do it in the word. See? And everything is from God's word. Why? Because he loves you. When you get in his word gets in you, you will be a happy camper. And it won't make no difference what your circumstances are. Things can come unglued at the seams. I can feel sick, like I'm about to check out. I can still trust God no matter what I'm going through. See? No matter what anybody says, I'm going to be able to make it because God has already promised me. And Job put it this way, Job 13:15, he said, even if he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to trust him till he take me out of here.
Amen.
Period. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There you go. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He understood that. His faith was settled in God. So you preach the word with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Because here we are, America. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They'll make up their own little thing. Yeah, that's your truth, and this is my truth then. I go by this here and this here, and I mix a little bit of this with that. And, okay, all right, that ain't what God said. You know, we stand on the truth, but he tells Timothy in opposition, verse 5. But watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Why would you tell somebody that? We don't want to be afflicted, do we? No, but endure afflictions, because if you stand for the truth, you will be afflicted. Do the work of an evangelist. That's the bearer of good news. That's who an evangelist is. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. Paul says, I know I'm near the end of my trek with God. And the time of my departure is at hand. But I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but unto all them that have loved his appearing. See, all of you, he has a crown of righteousness for you. And so Ezra had his heart set on it. Paul had his heart set on it. And I want to ask you to have your heart set on it. Be fixed on it. The Apostle Paul writes his final letter to Timothy, and to us by extension, he reminds us that we must pay no attention to the backlash of the fallen world. Whatever they say makes no difference. We know our purpose has been made plain and clear. Regardless of how we are perceived by others with no ability to behold the mysteries of salvation. That's why they backlash against you, because they don't trust the truth. But that we must rather realize that these things and minister all the more to reach as many as possible while the time remains, as did Ezra as well. Now back to my thing here with the GQ magazine. I just want to close with this. I want to talk with you just a couple of minutes about Dr. GQ. And this has nothing to do with their magazine. I'm going to say it one more time. But I give you that symbol just to keep these thoughts in your mind. Dr. GQ. Now, people who don't believe God, this is where I get doctor from. Or this only happens to unbelievers, people who do not believe God. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That's what unbelievers do. That's the D in doctrine. They do despite to the Spirit of grace. God has given his Son by grace, said whoever believes in him will not perish. They said, nah, not for me. The Holy Spirit bears witness. Every time, do you know, every time you share the gospel, the Spirit of God is with you. He's in you, first of all, if you believe Christ. And when you tell the gospel, he's with you. He is giving conviction to the person that's hearing you. He's telling them what you're hearing is the truth. And the only way they cannot believe it, they have to do despite to the Spirit of grace. That's the D in doctor. Other folks who are lost, we go to the R in doctor. This is what Stephen said to some people who had asked him to give an account of why you're preaching Christ, and we don't teach that. Stephen says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Wow, they resist. That's the R in doctor. You can do despite to the Spirit, or you can resist the Spirit. And that's when you're not saved. You rejected what God said and walked away as though it meant nothing. That's the doctor. DR, despite and resistance against the Holy Spirit. GQ, notice this. This is what people who are saved do. And I want you to understand this. In Ephesians 4 and 30, Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Right. Now, the only way you can grieve the Holy Spirit is you have to be saved. And you refuse to do what he tells you to do. And you know what? His reaction is just like you as a parent. When your kid doesn't do what you tell them to do, it's heartbreaking. You're grieved. Because you have a love relationship with them and they're not doing the best thing that you told them to do. So that's the difference. That's the G. And then finally the Q. Paul says to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit if you're saved.
Lost people don't quench the Spirit. Why? They don't have the Spirit.
Don't have them.
He's not there. So Dr. GQ tells you about the lost and the saved, their reaction to the Holy Spirit.
See, do despite to the Spirit or resist the Spirit, that means you're lost. If you quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit, or grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit, GQ, that's what you do when you're saved. But you don't want to do that. You want to continue in the things of God. Start off a fresh relationship with God. You know what we have to do, and we don't practice it enough. I know, because there's always tension in relationships. We got to learn to put aside pride and be willing to ask for forgiveness.
That's right. Amen.
Got to. And you also have to be willing to grant forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I can have a grudge and you say you're sorry and I'm still mad. Dr. Adams, I don't care you said you're sorry. Just don't ever do it again. And I heard carry a grudge and it hinders our relationship.
Yes, it does.
See? So you can't do that. That grieves the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Why? Because Christ has forgiven me of everything.
That's right. Amen.
All of my nonsense, all my hogwash, everything, my rejection, outright, any sin. He forgave you of it all.
He did.
So you have to be careful. Remember Dr. GQ. That's just a good way for you to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Folks who are lost, do despite to the Spirit of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? God is somewhat grieved because he does want them to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But a person that's saved can't do that.
Right.
And a person who basically resists the Holy Spirit, that's what happened when Stephen was preaching. They kept on resisting. Next thing you know, they picked up stones and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And they laid their coats at Paul's feet.
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 7, read the story. One of the most powerful sermons in the New Testament.
Yes, it is.
The sermon of Stephen. And the Bible says the heavens were open and Jesus Christ was standing at the right hand of God to receive Stephen in the heaven. Because he took a stand for the truth, no matter what it cost him. See, that's where we're getting right now. So in this new year coming up, and I'm done, I want you to start off with a better year with the Lord. Analyze yourself. The only one who can do that is you. You have to do it. You have to take a spiritual account.
Mm-hmm.
And then submit it to God. If there are people who need to be involved in it, you know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with them about it. If they resist the Spirit, you can't do much about it. Just pray on it. See? Now that's where it gets into where Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine.
That's right. That's right.
And it doesn't mean he's not talking about pigs and pearls. He's really saying that what you have, something that's treasured and precious to you, means nothing to them. Discern that and don't even go there. Have the ability to discern that this will not do any good. So there's no need in me saying a word. All I can do for you is intercede. Now, that doesn't mean I cast you away. That means I get in my secret closet and intercede. God, help this person. Help them, Lord. Because they're not here. No, the word I'm giving them is falling on deaf ears. See? So determine that. That Dr. GQ is a good way to remember that. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to say anything about GQ magazine. Never have read a copy of it. But those letters came into mind, and I thought it would be a good way for you to wrap your thoughts on those things that we've studied. So let us we hope you got a good word from the message. And if you're here today and you have not been saved, we want to invite you to receive the Lord as your personal Savior. Amen. We hope this will get you stirred up into the new year. I want to thank God for all my brethren and sisters in Christ here. And I know that our journey, we started off talking about preparing for the journey. Amen. So we're still on a journey. We can see God still working in everything. So let's stand and have a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for your Spirit, thank you for your word, thank you for your just the ability you give us, Father, to be able to share good news that can change lives, change situations, change circumstances, and help us be like Paul, who was diligent to teach another generation, Timothy, how to be a person of God and take a stand in these last and evil days. Father, that's what this church has stood for throughout the years, is passing on the legacy of the gospel from generation to generation. And so, Father, we thank you for letting us be a part of that, and we pray you take us into the new year better than we were last year, Father, that we might give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Save anyone who needs salvation. Bless anyone with health situations so they can know that you have all power and can do anything but fail. Be with us as we go through the weekend here, Lord, and into the new year. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his righteousness we pray, and the church said together,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Give God a praise.
Amen. Amen.